Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Michael J., and this is Hypothetical. This week, I'm super excited to have a very special guest with me to run through some hypothetical situations. His name is Jim. He's my former co-host at BYOB Pen Club. Also online, he's known as Robo Jim. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Thanks, Michael. It's been a bit of a while since we spoke.
Yes, it has. How you been?
I've been doing pretty well. I have traveled a little bit in the time since we had to retire the show, and got a few more plans for the rest of the year. Excellent. So still working things out, but otherwise it's pretty good.
Excellent. It's good to hear. All right. Well, I think you know a little bit about how the show works. We'll start out with a little warm-up game and then jump into the main topic. You ready to have some fun?
Of course. Always ready.
Excellent. So our warm-up game is always a who, what, where, when, and why. And the topic for our warm-up game today is going to be one of something I think is a favorite of yours, which is cheesecake. Who would you like to share cheesecake with? You could share with anybody in the world, alive, dead, real or fake, or anywhere in between. If you can share cheesecake with anybody in the world, who would you share it with?
So I have to think a little bit for this, but I know where I would share the cheesecake. I would definitely go to Vigneros in the Lower East Side of New York City. I think that's probably the best cheesecake I've ever tried. Who I'd want to share it with? One of my best friends back home. His name is Danny. He's like a lover of cheese and a lover of cake. And I don't know, like, he lives in the UK. Every time we meet up, we end up like having some sort of dessert. So I think that would be a fitting person to take.
Perfect.
Otherwise, I don't know. There's also my brother, who's just like a food enthusiast in general. So that's someone else I'd take. And we're all like a close-knit group of friends. Yeah. When?
Yeah, when
we said who, what, when, where, and why, right?
Correct. Well, now, for the where, are you taking Danny and your brother to Vigneros to have it, or are you just going to order from there and elsewhere?
So I've heard the delivery experience isn't perfect, so I'd rather just take them there.
Sure.
So I wouldn't, the bonus is that I don't have to go too far. It's only a subway ride away for me. I'm not sure when the best time to get a cheesecake is. But probably sometime in the afternoon on a not too hot day, maybe sometime in September or October.
Okay.
And as for why, it's just, I don't know, it's just a really delicious cheesecake. It's probably the best one I've tried.
Fair enough. How many cheesecakes have you tried, you think?
In New York City itself, I've tried at least like 8 or 9 different places that have cheesecake. So I'm not an expert, but I've tried a few.
So you're at least a cheesecake enthusiast.
I am a cheesecake enthusiast. I am probably not as well-versed as one Mr. Franklin, but I'd hope to aspire to get to his level.
Excellent. How many cheesecakes do you think you need to consume before you become an expert in cheesecakes?
I'd have to say probably another 20 different ones.
Okay.
And then I think I could be confident in considering myself a cheesecake master.
Right. Now, would that just be New York cheesecakes or...
I'm considering New York cheesecakes for, I guess, if what's the other type, like Italian cheesecakes, they're like more fluffy and light. For that type of cheesecake, a really good one I tried was in France, in this little village outside of Cannes. I forget which one. I'd have to like look through my older Facebook stuff, but somewhere in the south of France. And yeah,
they're
pretty close to Italy, so they have a lot of inspiration from Italian culture, so they make a good cheesecake there.
That makes sense. Okay. I was wondering why you suggested France for an Italian cheesecake, but that now that starts to make more sense for me.
What about you?
I would share cheesecake with some folks that are not nearly as reasonable as your choices. I would share cheesecake, well, not just with people. I would share it with Garfield the cat. Remember Garfield the cartoon?
Oh, yeah. That was a favorite of mine growing up.
Mine, too. I love the books. I would share it with Garfield the cat because he loves lasagna and pretty much any type of food, let alone Italian food. But my favorite character from Garfield was always Odie, the dog. I always felt like he was left out
Of
many things. So
poor Odie.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd make sure that Odie was invited to have cheesecake with us. So I would most definitely share cheesecake with Odie and Garfield. And just for the fun of it, I would also invite the 20th president of the United States, James Garfield, just because he shares a name with Garfield. And, you know, he was only president. He was president for less than a year. He died like, I don't know, several months after.
Was he the shortest lived president?
He might have been. I'm not great at history, so I couldn't tell you for sure. But he very well could have been because he was president for less than a year. So I can't think of anybody else.
Can I suggest someone you shouldn't invite?
Sure.
Nirmal. Nirmal was always annoying. Kitten with Garfield.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah, no, I specifically... Odie was my favorite, so he most definitely gets invited.
Yeah, you know, he's a good boy.
For sure. And Garfield, well, he would consume anything, let alone some cheesecake. So I would have President Garfield, Garfield the cat, and Odie for cheesecake. We would eat Eli's cheesecake, which is a Chicago brand of cheesecake. We'd have chocolate chip cheesecake, because I love chocolate chip cheesecake. That's probably my favorite kind. Where we would have it, I think we would have it at the Hall of Presidents at Disney World. You know, they have all the animatronic presidents.
Yes, I haven't been to that one. I've just seen pictures.
Right. I think it would be fun to see President Garfield's reaction to his animatronic likeness and to see how accurate he thinks that depiction is. While we eat cheesecake, of course. Why I would do it, I just think it would be fun to have cheesecake with Odie and both Garfields.
I just want to say, I mean, the why for this question is like, I mean, why wouldn't you have cheesecake? You don't need a reason to have cheesecake, if you ask me.
Exactly. Preach, my man. That is most definitely true. So I think you obviously chose the reasonable path for consuming cheesecake. I chose a rather unconventional path. But now that
spice is the variety of life.
That is true. That is very true.
Well, I think I mixed it up. Variety is the spice of life. Wow.
You're right. My brain is processing things a little slowly today, apparently.
It's fine.
Variety is the spice of life, not the other way around. But speaking of variety, why don't we jump into our main game, which is, I think we're going to flip things around a little bit here. For our main hypothetical situation today, we are going to establish a new inspection department for the government. You've been tasked with creating a new inspection department that can inspect anything. So we know there's all sorts of different inspection departments run by governments. Some are local, some are federal. There's inspections for the USDA, for example, inspects agriculture, meats, and things like that. There are different building and housing inspection groups, typically local.
And they all give grades, basically.
Exactly, and they all grade. You know, whether a type of meat is a grade A type of meat or a building is hospitable or needs repair. You know, local restaurants get grades based on their cleanliness and their variety of other factors.
School teachers grade students on how well they do.
That is true as well.
In a way.
In a way, yes. Not necessarily an inspection department per se, but they do the grading, as you say. You are tasked with creating a new inspection department. We want to know what you will inspect, what your rating system is going to be like, for what government does your department work for, what's the name of your department, and who would you hire to lead this department?
Okay, so I've thought about this, and this is something that even the most organized people have what I would call their like hidden stash, that like single place that people just... When you run out of like things to like organize into a pile, like the miscellaneous pile, it goes into like either a closet of doom or some other like basement tub that you fill with like stuff that just doesn't fit in well together.
Sure.
So I'm calling it the Department of Hidden Stashes. So even the most organized people, like you organize everything into like these neat little cubby holes and everything fits. But then you like end up with like a small collection of things that just kind of doesn't really fit into anything. So my department's going to be there to inspect these and give a certain grading scale for, you know, how well you get to like organize anything else that is more difficult to organize. So
if you fail an inspection, if you have a junk drawer that's out of control or a closet of doom that falls over on you, are there going
to
be consequences?
They get to confiscate things. They get to, I don't know. I haven't figured out the punishments for that. I don't know if there should be a fine or if they just like, I don't know, like mandatory like organizational skills classes or something. I don't know. We can figure that out as we go along. But yeah, but like what they'd inspect, like I said, those so-called closets of doom. I mean, I don't know if you've seen some of our friend Brad Dowdy's live Instagram streams, but he once showed his closet of doom and it is quite scary. I'm not immune from this. I have two drawers under my bed that are full of randomly assorted things that don't fit into anything else.
Sure.
On my grade system, I have five grades more or less. And okay. This is starting from like least organized to most organized. So there are some that are catastrophes. They're what get the black hole rating. Anything that goes in there is lost forever and you'll never be able to find it again. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these in person, but they can be quite scary.
Absolutely.
My situation is more of what I described the second grade, which is the haystack, where you can find something, but you have to like dig around and move things out of the way and eventually you find it. That's still not ideal, but at the very least, it's functional. So if you do need to find something, put in a bit of effort and you find it. The middle grade, which is about where most people would probably land, is what I'd call chaotically organized, where it's everything's like stuffed in the same place, even though they have no relation to each other. But at the very least, they're like separate and you could probably find it. The only problem is it doesn't look very pretty and you kind of have to like search around without moving things around just to, like to figure out where things are placed.
Okay.
That's like the average. These are the very good marks. These are like, you know, like your AAA ratings for restaurants. So you've got the museum exhibit where everything's neatly arranged and there are labels that point you to where everything is. Even though nothing is related to anything else, you're able to find things fairly quickly. It's, you know, you might have a closet where, okay, I've got some paper towels stored at the top, but I've also got like on the right, unused notebooks that I'm keeping for a future day. And then at the bottom, there's, I don't know, winter boots because I don't need them in summer, for example. But sure. Hey, you walk in, it's neatly organized. You know exactly where everything is.
Right.
The highest grade, which is verging on perfection, is you just have an empty space and there's nothing there because everything else was so organized in every other space that you have no overflow closet of doom or whatever else you want to call it. Very few people will have this, but those who do, that's the ultimate grade that you can get.
Your department favors minimalism?
Yeah, it's more, it's not minimalism. It's just that, you know how like you're going to have like your space, you know, you have a space to tidy your clothes, a space to tidy your shoes, a place to like put together all of your cooking utensils, all of your cleaning equipment. So sometimes there are some things that just don't fit in any of those spaces and those go into like an overflow, whatever, buffer, closet,
sure,
whatever, bin. And then if you're the type of person who just doesn't buy too many things, which I am not, you might not need any extra space. You could probably successfully live in one of those tiny New York apartments that have like room for a bed and that's it.
I have some questions about your rating system.
Sure.
Where does dust and grime fall on that scale?
So dust and grime would just be, so if everything is organized well, I would say the dust and grime would keep it from not going up to like the last two levels. So there are negatives for sure, but if you can find things quickly and they're just dusty, it's not going to go beyond the third level.
Okay.
So this is purely about the organization, but definitely like dust and cleanliness come in to play a part.
Now, are there different scales for commercial versus personal? So like if your inspectors come to your apartment versus going to an office building or a retail shop?
I would probably keep them the same, but the difference is when it's like a residential place, your grade is personal and no one else has to see that.
Okay.
But when you're at a shop, you'd probably want to like, you know, have it as a little piece of paper hung up on the wall. Just if it's not in the window, at least behind the cashier, because you know, like people walk in, it's like, oh, this guy's organized. I can trust him. Especially if you go to like a store and you ask for some, I don't know, like obscure electronics component that you couldn't find on the internet for some reason.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if you see that like A+ rating, it's like, okay, this guy is going to have exactly what I need.
It's unreasonably sensible.
I'm a very sensible person, I think.
I agree.
What were the questions or criteria we were talking about? We talked about like what the grades are and what they're actually like keeping track of.
Right.
And what else?
You named your department. What government does your department work for?
So, I mean, I think this should be like under an international organization. So, and it's related to like, you know, buying things. So possibly under the World Trade Organization. I think that could be like a sub-branch of the UN's WTO.
Even for residential?
Yeah, you know, that's where it gets tricky because it's you know, it's not like no one's supposed to be able to impose on someone's lives that way. At the same time, so it could also be like a Department of Health thing because, you know, some of these closets, like the black hole closets can be very dangerous. You might open it and like a bowling ball falls on your head or something like that. It'd have to be like a collaboration between the WHO and the WTO.
Okay.
World Health Organization and World Trade Organization.
Sure.
Maybe we need to create a whole new agency at the UN for this. But I think it should be a global monitoring agency because an unclean closet is the same in the US as it is in China, as it is in India, as it is in France or other countries that you might be living in.
Very true. Very true. So we've established your department, how they rate things, what the purpose is. Who do you hire to lead this department?
It has to be someone who is obsessively worried about keeping things clean.
Okay.
And I would say, do you know the TV show Monk?
I've heard of it. I haven't watched it.
So the main character in it is a guy called something Monk. Let me look up his name very quickly. He is a hypochondriac, Adrian Monk. He's a hypochondriac and he's obsessive compulsive about like germs and contamination. So he would be the perfect person to head this up because he has unrealistically high standards. So he would never be able to like play favorites for anyone. On top of that, he's played by Tony Shalhoub, who's a actor of Lebanese origin. So that's like a bit of extra from my side, just a bit of pride. Yeah, I think he'd be a good head. And for people who are under him, working under him, mm-hmm. I don't know, probably all of the underappreciated cleaning ladies that are overworked in most countries around the world. This is a chance for them to like get back at the people who have overworked them.
That sounds like a well-needed organization. Very practical. As usual, you're the man of practicality and I'm the man of absurdity.
Yes, I like it that way.
Yeah, sometimes it's good. Sometimes it, I'm not sure it works out so well for me. But this time I think it will, because my inspection department is going to be the United States Gummy Services. So let me explain.
I'm dreading this already.
You're well aware of what we did in our previous lifetime. We hosted a stationary podcast. We did a live show in Chicago back in May. And we brought in a 27-pound gummy python that was...
The smell of that still scars me to this day.
Me as well. And this is why I am creating this department. Because that gummy python, 8 feet long, 27 pounds, tens of thousands of calories, it smelled so delicious.
In the beginning. And then...
It was the greatest smell of all time. And I thought this was going to be the greatest treat and just a wonderful surprise for our live show. And then we cut it up and tried to eat it. And it was the most disgusting, most vile tasting thing in the world. And I felt
so would your department be in charge of making sure these never get created and that we only have more reasonable gummy, you know, foods?
It would be the department would help warn people of the potential fraud that some gummy products can provide because good gummy products are delicious and they smell
I do enjoy good. A good gummy worm. Right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, if you think about it, if we had that department early on, people wouldn't have bought those sugar-free gummy bears and left all those interesting reviews on Amazon.
That is true. That just proves the importance of having the United States Gummy Services. And so this division or this department would inspect all gummy products in the United States and would rate them based on clarity, softness, taste, smell, appearance, chewiness. The most important factor would be aftertaste, because that gummy python was just had the worst aftertaste. We would have a typical A through F grading scale, just like in school, just to keep it simple. And that gummy python would automatically have an F because of the aftertaste.
That's fair.
Taste would be a huge component of this. So
what are the criteria you'd use? I'd imagine taste is one, but there's also what, texture?
Right, texture, scent, the softness, the clarity of the gummy.
Interesting shapes maybe.
Yeah, interesting shapes. I mean, you could get bonus points, I suppose, if you make a cool looking gummy, something that's, you know, hasn't been seen before. I mean, it's
something that doesn't come from hell.
Right. I mean, it's pretty common these days to see gummy worms or gummy bears. But then there's also, you know, and they're like the retro treats, like the gummy cola bottles and the whatever.
Not to mention all of the gummy human organs to keep it PG friendly.
Yeah, I'm not sure how well they would grade, but that's neither here nor there, I guess, for the moment. So basically, it'd be a simple A through F scale. Taste would be one of the most important factors, as would smell. And those two typically are related. Usually if it smells good, it tastes good. But as we learned with the gummy python, that's not always the case.
That's true. What's a product that would get an A?
A product that would get an A would be a really good, let's say those gummy cola bottles. There's decent clarity. You could typically see through them. You hold it up to the light, you can see through it. It's got a nice smooth texture, typically, if you have a high quality one. The taste is simple, but it doesn't linger for too long. Smells like a gummy, so it smells decent. It's not going to be an offensive odor. They typically are not overly chewy. There's just enough chewiness to them. So I think those little gummy cola bottles would be an easy one to get an A grade.
Okay, that's a good example, yeah.
Oh, also, one other factor in grading would be packaging. Because, yes, typically, you know, your smaller gummy products, your gummy worms, your traditional gummy bears, you know, they come in regular plastic bags. They are vacuum sealed or something along those lines. And that packaging is totally fine. It's when you get into the larger things like the 5-pound gummy bears, where sometimes they'll have clamshell packaging that is a pain to open. So if you don't use easy open packaging, you could get dinged on your grade.
That's fair.
And I think these grades should be plastered on the packaging themselves. So you'll have your nutrition facts, but you'll also have your gummy services grade. The United States Gummy Services will be a federal government department.
So under the FDA, probably?
I think it's so important that it needs to be on the same level as the FDA.
Okay, that's fair.
So it would be just another, you'd have your FDA or USDA and your USGS, your U.S. Gummy Services.
There's already a USGS, so we need to like give it a slightly catchier acronym, I think.
I don't know what that would be.
We can figure it out.
Yeah. Well, this would be the only USGS that really matters.
It's true. No one really cares about geography.
Right.
Geology. Well, I mean,
yeah, whatever the other USGS. Yeah. I think this is so important that people will understand and just accept that the real USGS is now the U.S. Gummy Services, and the old USGS can come up with their own new acronym.
True.
Or go by their full name. And then the person I would hire to lead the department, I think would be the right choice for the U.S. Gummy Services. And that would be Gordon Ramsay. Because
he's a good choice.
Yeah, he's very clear cut in what his expectations are. You either meet each of these criteria to his satisfaction, or as he would say, you would bloody fail. And I think his directness would be greatly appreciated by all the gummy consumers of the world. He can be very blunt in saying, this is going to work, or this is trash and you should never consume this. Plus, I think it would be entertaining to watch him grade gummies, because he typically is judging higher end foods. Gummies, I don't think would be considered.
Ooh, maybe he'll be able to create a special grade of, like, you know, gourmet gummies.
Absolutely. I, I'd be down for that.
You know, interesting ingredients. Like, imagine a truffle gummy. Actually, that's kind of disgusting.
Yeah, that's, I don't know if that would be the right combination, but the direction.
But something. I'm sure he could find something cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure he'd come up with something unique or some good concepts.
It's why he's the chef and I'm not.
Right, right. And he's also going to head up. He's going to be the chef and head of the United States Gummy Services. So that's my choice for an inspection department. Yours, again, is the practical one. Mine is the absurd. Unless you have any questions for the U.S. Gummy Services, I think we're about ready to wrap this up.
No, I'm good.
I appreciate you coming on, Jim. Thank you very much. This is a lot of fun. Where can people find you online if you want them to find you?
I don't have anything special going on right now, but you can find me on Instagram as robojim.nib for my pen stuff. But I also have just my own regular Instagram at robojim.jpg. And I every once in a while do post to Twitter as well. I'm just RoboJim there.
Well, thank you very much again for joining me today, Jim. I appreciate it. Hope you'll come back sometime.
Yeah, I'm open to coming back at some point. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's it for this episode of Hypothetical. Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _Hypothetical and subscribe to Hypothetical on your podcast player of choice. Until next time, this is Hypothetical.